You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, join First and 10 by donating blood at the Cleveland Browns Blood Drive Saturday, July 26th. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your appointment. Enter sponsor code Browns. All donors receive a commemorative Browns t-shirt while supplies last. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci continuing our training camp preview series. And again, there will be videos covering the quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, O-line, D-line, linebackers, secondary, and special teams posted at clevelandbrowns.com. A new video posted at 3 o'clock today. So be sure to check that out. Those videos are notorious and I breaking it down for you in video form.
Those were fun to do, too.
They were fun.
I like that. It's kind of a continuation of the show, except we're standing up outside in the sunshine.
In the sunshine, that's right. Getting some nice sun gleaming and everything there. And we're going to continue our radio previews now here on CBD with the defensive line. And this is a group that is as talented and as deep as any group on this team. I'd say right now probably the best position group on this team is this defensive line. And when you look at it in kind of this 3-4 alignment that they're going to play here, you're going to have three kind of D-line starters out there. And there are going to be some interesting battles. I think Desmond Bryant pretty much locked in as a starter. I think Buck Wild Billy Wynn is going to be a starter as well. And then you're going to see maybe a little bit of a battle between Ataba Rube and Phil Taylor, maybe on the inside as the run stopper there for this team. Something to keep an eye on. But 10 guys in camp: Desmond Bryant, Armani Bryant, Cam Henderson, Phil Taylor, Ishmaili Kitchen, Jacoby McDaniel, Billy Wynn, Ataba Rubin, John Hughes, and Calvin Barnett. And Notorious, I think you're going to see a minimum 7 of those guys make the final 53, maybe even 8.
You know, I think Billy Wynn challenges for a starting spot for sure on at that left-end spot. That's where Ataba Rubin would basically be right now at the start of training camp. He's going to get pushed. Now, Ataba Rubin, for his part, is a battler and is a guy who I can see took his weight down, definitely tried to reconfigure his body to be more of an exterior type of player on a line in a 3-4 look in this particular defense where it's important to be stout but also quick. You got to have the best of both worlds. And I think in the past, Rubin has mainly been stout and mainly been strong, but now he's going to ask to be more athletic. I think Billy Wynn's got the edge there. This is why the push is going to be a hard one for Rubin to fend off. And I think Billy, through what he showed through off seasons, now he's got to stay healthy. He's had an occasional issue here and there, but I think his aggressiveness, I think his mindset, his athleticism, his instincts, all of those things, very strong for Billy. And then it'll be interesting to see if this coaching staff or this personnel staff were to determine that Wynn was the better guy. What do you do with Ataba Rubin? Because you've got experience, and generally speaking, when you reach a point of experience that he has, you can't necessarily afford to keep a guy like that in a backup role unless he's part of some real heavy rotation. And I don't know that we're going to see that much rotation there. Armani Bryant, another guy I look for, that's so hard to keep him inactive or limited in terms of what he does. You got to find space for him on that line.
I think you're going to see Armani Bryant get some opportunities in pass rushing situations. Right. I think that's where he thrives. He was the most efficient pass rusher on the D-line last year for the Cleveland Browns team as a rookie, and he has looked good to me in the offseason in the OTAs. I think he makes the final 53. I think right now, Billy Wynn, Phil Taylor, Desmond Bryant, and obviously Armani Bryant, you talked about, they make it. I think Ishmaili Kitchen, who works his butt off, knows how to get big and wide and plug the middle from that nose tackle position, I think he makes this team. John Hughes, one of our best players last year, graded by Pro Football Focus against the run, he's emerging. I think he makes this 53. And then my sleeper to make the 53 is defensive tackle Calvin Barnett, my guy from Oklahoma State.
I knew you were going to say that.
And I kind of think when you talked about the tough decision that might be facing this staff, Calvin Barnett factors into that. He's kind of Ataba Rubin from a few years ago. He's a younger version. So when you're looking at Ataba Rubin with his salary number being around $7 million this year, in the last year of his deal, you wonder if he's starting, he's going to be here. I think if he plays well, he is going to be here. But if not, there's a potential, maybe a potential trade piece there for the Browns, something just to kind of keep an eye on. But he's been a very solid starter, and that's why he wasn't cut. Remember, there was the conversation early in the year where they were just going to cut him earlier in the year, restructure him. That didn't happen. He's here now, and he I think, is in a big battle in this training
for
camp
sure.
to stay around here.
Everything is dependent upon whether he starts or doesn't start, because if he doesn't start, it opens up a whole different conversation as far as the personnel decision makers. You know, you brought up Calvin Barnett, and again, that's that versatility. That's the younger version. I think it's a good comparison, an apt comparison with Ruben. So active we saw him in these offseason workouts, was he not? I mean, you looked up constantly, and he had that kind of performance where, again, where he had come in as an undrafted free agent, and you see number 91, who is this guy? And you started to learn more about him. And honestly, I think he is someone who has a good shot at making this team. It'll also depend on what he shows on special teams. He's got to be excellent in that area. And generally speaking, guys who are, you know, aren't too large, who can move, who are big enough, but also ability to move and make plays on special teams or protect or whatever he's going to be involved in, he's going to have a role there to try to secure a spot on this football team. I'm with you on John Hughes. If he can replicate what he did last year, he should be very much in the hunt. But this is a different defense and asks different things from its players. So keep this in mind, too. When you talk about Phil Taylor, he's reconfigured himself somewhat physically, meaning he's gotten lighter, more penetration. You want more active movement from the people up front. Ismaili Kitchen, a very different kind of body, and there will be different looks. You get into goal line, short yardage. You want to get those bigger bodies in
mahonkers.
There. So when you change the look of your line and the look of your front to deal with situational opportunities that talk about stopping the run, that's what you do there. And then the same with Armani Bryant. Pass rush type of specialist, he could fall into that role perfectly, and then you can move a Billy Wynn around frequently, and a Dez Bryant is big enough and, of course, athletic enough to play outside or inside. So there's a lot of options here. I think the creativity of Mike Pettine and Jim O'Neill is also perfectly suited for the type of talent this line has. You said it's the best position group on the team. By far it is, and I'll go a step further. I think it ranks among the better ones in the National Football League, just in terms of the sheer numbers. And there isn't a guy who I think ends up on the final 53, assuming they're all healthy, of the people we're talking about, that couldn't be effective either a starter or a regular on another team.
I think you're right. And even the guys right now that are going to have to battle to try to kind of change where they stand in the pecking order, like a Cam Henderson, who I thought looked good in the OTAs, but you got to see him with the pads. Very quick, athletic defensive end, but a little bit light he looks, maybe a little bit of a lighter build, and you wonder how it'll work out with the pads on. But yeah, this is a defensive group that I think is an absolute strength of this team. And don't forget, there's a reason. Last year's defense was much maligned in many respects, but they were one of the better defenses in the National Football League on first and second down. And a lot of that had to do with being able to control the point of attack, control the line of scrimmage against the run, and you're going to hopefully be able to see that continue this season. I think this is a very good group, and I think we're going to see 7 or 8 of the 10 guys that are here on this final 53.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have, to have to kind of look through and see who you can't, you know, keep or you can't keep. And this raises more thought. Look at it in this way, Nathan. So you see how camp evolves. You see where you might run into some problems. And let's just use, for the sake of discussion, wide receiver, where the biggest question mark on this team lingers, obviously. We know what the obvious question 1A is, and that is Josh Gordon. How long, if at all, do you have him for through the course of this year? I think the question 1B is, will the other players, Miles Austin, Nate Burleson especially, will either of those two presumptive guys in the number one, number two spots filling him or totally holding up in those spots for the whole year be healthy enough to do so? Are you going to get a full year out of Miles Austin? Are you going to get a full year out of Burleson? And my point is, if you have some questions or doubts, even if they're healthy at the start of camp or early enough in camp when you've made the decision, let's say, just to take our scenario further, that Ataba Rubin is not here to be a starter for you, and you want to make a deal, you want to make a trade, that could factor into the conversation. Maybe you're picking up some other team's receiver that it would probably cut. Maybe they're a Tabo Rubin at the receiver position who's losing a battle but is still productive enough, and I think it gives you options. It may not just be a straight draft choice type of trade.
You know, it's something that's out there, and I wonder, and you've been around this league a lot longer than I have, but there are times where it seems like it should just make sense to be able to make trades in the NFL, and they just don't happen like you think they'd be able to. Oh, look, you're the Browns. We have a glut of receivers, but we're weak on the D-line. Hey, yeah. Let's talk. Why don't these things happen more often in the NFL?
Well, the complicating factors, this used to happen a lot more often. I can remember the day when it did, just having been around this. But when it changed, Nathan, is when the business model changed. When you had the salary cap and all its constraints built into it, your ability to move a player from roster to roster, you're not moving just the physical body. You're moving a contract when you make a trade. And does that contract fit what you're doing? And in many cases, we're in a league right now where movement occurs with veterans. Movement occurs exactly at the point where you are in a Tabo Rubin's career, where if you're not starting as a veteran, a team can't afford to have you as a backup because of the cap space you occupy. And you say, well, wait a minute, the Browns have plenty of cap room. That isn't how you look at it. You have to put value to your cap room. And if you're tying up a lot of cap room in a back room, in a veteran player backup, that's not a good consumption of cap room. So you look to move a player, and those trades don't happen easily because you know what other teams will do? Well, you're trying to move the guy. We'll just wait for you to cut him. Then we'll renegotiate and bring him in. There's still a veteran minimum that you have to bring a guy in at. So that has its own definition. But it's different than his fourth year of a deal or whatever it might be. So I think that's the way contracts are constructed. Players either get to play their full four with one team and then possibly get extended, or they hit free agency, get their big payday somewhere else. But the players who fall in that in-between category of trades, and you don't see blockbuster moves for the most part because, again, teams rely on the draft because the draft gives you the most cap-friendly contracts.
No question. And I think when we ultimately go back and look at the end of the year, this is the year, in my mind, Buckwild Billy Winn becomes a star. I think Desmond Bryant, back from the ailment that knocked him out, if you remember how hot he started the season before he had that heart issue, I think he has a great season. Phil Taylor, they picked up the fifth-year option, big part of the plans. He has a great season. And I think when this team gets into nickel situations, you're going to see a whole lot more of Armani Bryant on the field. And I think he is going to be an exciting player rushing the passer. They've got the beef behind it if they need to stop the run. This is going to be a fun group to watch, and I think it gives a lot of flexibility to Mike Pettine, Jim O'Neill, D-line coach Anthony Weaver, a D-line coach, by the way, who got the best out of those players in Buffalo last year. Marcell Dareus had his best season last year working with Anthony Weaver. That whole front did, and I think this is good news for the Browns, and they are going to be looking very good up front in camp. And let me tell you, last year, do you remember, we watched camp, and the first team could not run the ball against our first team defense.
Not at all.
Not
at all. And it was, I mean, that to me was the reminder of how much this team really has. And then I went back to that mentally and how much it underachieved defensively as the year went on. I think some of the failings were, for sure, you didn't get enough pass rush, but you were stout enough against the run to be the type of team that, frankly, this defense hopes to be this year, which is force teams to be one-dimensional right from the very start, discourage it. Don't allow that running game to take over. And this is where I'll tell you what I heard a lot of when I spent time in Buffalo during the part of my summer vacation. It was this. Mike Pettine ran a defense last year that really struggled badly against the run, and the theory was they sold out so much to get to the quarterback that the run defense was forgotten. Well, I think the difference between that situation in Buffalo and what he has here is what we've discussed. He doesn't have that kind of talent on this line that they had there. They had some good players, but they were mostly predisposed to be good pass rushers.
Right.
Here, I think you're stouter, and you've got to be stouter on your edges. You can't just be stouter inside. They've got Kyle Williams there in Buffalo. This team, though, has Phil Taylor. We talked about his Melee Kitchen. I mean, there's some depth, really, at the inside spot. And Desmond Bryant, who I think, by the way, doesn't get recognized enough as being one of the very best D linemen in the National Football League.
And he's playing to maintain a nice pay scale.
Yeah.
So he's motivated to go out there and have a very good season this year.
The whole deal with his irregular heartbeat, which we all of all understanding he's past that and
right.
should be completely healthy after undergoing a procedure. All right, we'll play a little after further review. Our producer, Jason Gibbs, going to be firing that up for us next on CBD.